Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in on a Tuesday in New York City to a brand new edition of Evan and Tiki. We got a lot to get to. We are 1 week away from the NFL trade deadline. What will the Giants do and not do? What will the Jets do and not do? We have a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted, and Woody Johnson explains if he's a good owner or not. But last night is a case study on modern-day sports viewing. Most people listening, I would say 80% of the people listening, did not watch the final innings of a classic World Series game. There are people, I can name three of them, Tommy Lugauer, myself, and Boomer Esiason, who hung in there and watched all 18 innings of that gem. But many people, the super majority of people, did not. But they were able to wake up, see the highlights, watch a condensed game, and everyone's got an opinion. And it scares me that it is so easy to watch sports the next day that there's zero motivation to stay up and watch a live classic in real time.
Only if you are a diehard, you'll stay up and watch it. I had every intent to watch this game last night. And I did watch a majority of it. But after, I don't know, 11, 15, I'm done, dude. My body is just saying, go to sleep. And my wife is saying, get in bed. So I'm now watching Law & Order SVU, and the game is an afterthought. Whatever happens shall happen, and I'll figure it out in the morning. Little did I know that I would wake up, and it was the greatest game in the history of the postseason. At least that's how described it.
Do you have any remorse that you missed this live? And I asked that to the entire audience, because I'm sure there are people out there who are like, damn it, I wish I was up and knew.
Yes, I do. The beauty of media these days, and in particular what I've become very fond of, is YouTube. Because you can find anything.
Correct.
If I wanted to watch the whole game, I could find it. They have condensed games put out by MLB, so I watched the whole thing. I ended up just going back to the beginning and watching the 33-minute condensed version of what I missed in the latter innings of that game. And I was as riveted as if I was watching it, just not getting the ground out, the pop out. Like, all that stuff is taken out. It's just the important moments. The game-ending strikeouts, all that stuff, the Ohtani walks, the Ohtani's 4-for-4, including the two home runs, the Freddie Freeman driving the ball deep every time. You just kind of felt like he was going to be the guy because how hard he was hitting the ball. But rewatching it, I still kind of felt like I was watching it.
Nah, you missed everything. I'm going to tell you one thing.
I missed some things, but not everything.
So one thing that you missed, and again, it's 80% of the audience. I understand it. It's also like illogical to stay up until 2, 3 a.m. when you got to wake up early in the morning. I understand it. But Tommy was watching it. I was watching it. And the most riveting part of last night's game, in my opinion, was Tom Verducci telling us that Dave Roberts may go to a position player. Tommy, did that not make you, like, whoa?
Yeah, that to me was like, I didn't see that swerve coming, which would have been an absolute abomination, by the way.
Because it's conceding, right?
It's punting a World Series game.
Right.
You can't have that. It would have been ridiculous. But it was a great storyline to keep you intrigued. Like, yes. Oh boy, are we going to see the left fielder coming and pitch?
There was 25 minutes of just pure holy crap. Is Dave Roberts going to do that? And then Tom Verducci comes back on the TV and says, Yamamoto just went to Dave Roberts and said, give me the baseball. And Dave's like, okay. And Yamamoto's warming up. Like, that drama that you got in real time at 2 o'clock in the morning cannot be reproduced by a YouTube video.
Yeah, no, the YouTube didn't even give that side of it. They didn't give the position player thing or the... They showed Yamamoto warming up. Like, right. Oh, they might go to Yamamoto. And then it was like 4 seconds, and then it was right back. It was right back to the game. So you missed the drama of that. But I almost don't even care, because it was all the buildup and then how it ended.
Well,
was what made it so interesting and enticing. And I'm not a diehard, so I don't care. I'm not a diehard Dodger or Blue Jays fan, so who wins doesn't really matter to me. And I'm not even a diehard baseball fan. So just knowing that it was epic was enough for me.
Well, I will tell you a story. So this is tied for the longest extra inning game in World Series history. It tied a game in 2018, Game 3, Dodger Stadium. Does this all sound familiar? Dodgers, Red Sox. And I will admit, I fell asleep. I did not see that game live. And when I woke up the next morning, and I was doing middays at the time, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up the next morning and I saw 18 in that little abbreviated comment, 18 innings, I threw up. I was so disgusted with myself that I didn't get to see the 18 innings live. So last night,
why?
Because I missed it. Because you can watch all the videos you want. You don't experience the drama of the live. And so last night, after the Nets got assaulted by the Rockets, and after the Kansas City Chiefs blew away the Commanders, eventually it was close, they pulled away late, I was watching the game. I was not scoring the game. I was watching the game. I was watching it in the bed with my wife right next to me. And it was the commercial break going into the bottom of the eighth inning. All of a sudden, the eyes got heavy, and I passed out. And all of a sudden, I get a poke on the stomach, and it's my wife. Honey, honey, honey! I'm like, what is going on? She points at the TV. She says, are you watching this? Because the TV is still on. And what have I told you? When you're done with the TV, shut it off. So I glance at the TV, and I see 11th inning. And at that point, I pop up and say, I'm watching it, honey. I don't know what you're talking about. And from that moment on, I didn't go to sleep because I was afraid. Mm. I didn't go to sleep because I didn't want to miss history.
Right.
And so I ended up staying up for the next 7 innings watching that. And it was worth it. I'm on no sleep today, but it was worth it. So, Tiki, I feel bad for you.
I'm glad
Sean,
I slept.
Sean, I feel bad for you. And everyone in the audience, I get why you went to sleep. I almost fell asleep.
I'm glad I slept.
But watching sports the next day, it ain't the same, especially when you know the results.
Yeah, but that's fine. See, I think it's a mentality. You have this, I have to see it live mentality. I don't. If you spoiled a movie for me, what's the next big movie coming out? Whatever it is. If you told me exactly what happened, I would still have a desire to watch it. I would not care that it was spoiled and I knew it would happen. By the way, half the time I'm watching these documentaries that I don't know the actual story of, I'll look it up. While I'm watching the movie, I'll look up what the hell happened. I'm like, all right, what the hell happened to this person? Oh, okay. So I don't mind it being spoiled. I'd like seeing just great things happen no matter what the timeline is I saw it. I don't need it in real time.
So you feel the next day watching Ohtani get intentionally walked 4 times in a row and then intentionally walked.
Yes.
And the 2 home runs, the game tire in the 8th inning, Freddie Freeman's home run, Will Smith's near miss, all that. You feel like, yeah, I consumed it. I'm good.
Yes. I feel like I know what happened, and I could give it an impassioned, if I needed to, understanding of that game.
Wow. Do you feel that way, Sean? You're a diehard sports fan who prides himself in watching everything. Do you feel like you saw the game by just watching highlights the next day?
So I do, but 15 years ago.
But it's not highlights. I'm not watching like a 3-minute highlight. it's a 34-minute remake of it.
Evan, you should be one to talk. You're Mr. I'm not in real time and real emotion, DVR, put my phone down on silent.
That's different, though, because I'm consuming the game in it, like, without knowing the result.
Okay.
And watching every bit happen as if it is live.
Yeah, look.
It's far different than waking up in the morning, because here's how 90% of our listeners discovered last night. 90%, I think, is a fair number.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I even put out a poll out earlier just to see how many people hung in there the entire time. Mm-hmm. You woke up and you checked your phone. Oh, what happened in the baseball game? You see the final score, you see it went 18,
right?
And then either you're like, wow, that's crazy, and you go on with your day, or you then watch the condensed game, like you said, just to get the details. That's not experiencing something on DVR where you don't know the result. That's far different.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, 10 years ago, the me who I was would kick my ass today if they found out I went to sleep on that. But the world has changed, man. It just has changed. Now, that being said, it's also a product of the sport and the series. If I knew that a champion could have been crowned, am I punching myself and going, no, you're staying awake and doing this? Yes. I knew no matter what, by going to bed, there was going to be another baseball game tonight. That, who knows? What if that game goes 18 innings?
What if, if this was a Super Bowl? If this was a one-off?
I'm staying up.
You're staying up.
I'm staying up. What if tonight goes 18 innings, Evan, and all these people are exhausted? Your body's going to go through that again?
Yes.
Me, Tiki, you're well-rested, ready to go.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, that's the second part.
I'll still probably fall asleep.
It's actually still not a deciding game. So.
I am preparing myself now to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning because I don't want to miss it now. In fact, tonight I'm scoring the game. I'm not messing around. I didn't score last night's game, which I'm actually devastated by. I don't have those 18 innings in my book. I mean, what a missing life.
Were you scoring?
No.
At all?
No, because I made a decision between the Nets game being on and Monday Night Football. It was too much, and it's a game three. To Sean's point, I'll score game four. It's only the Knicks. I'll score game five. There's no NBA. There's the Nets talk.
And just to reiterate, the Nets lost by 30, and the Chiefs won by 3 touchdowns.
Did the Nets get relegated to the WNBA?
No, and that's why I was devastated. As I was watching the 14th inning, what made me sick was I didn't have my book out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I would have everything in front of me, all the pinch runners, George Springer getting hurt, all the pitching changes. Like, I was actually a mess for 2 hours.
By the way, when we did our what are you watching at the end of the show last night, that's exactly what I said.
The World Series.
No, the Chiefs are going to destroy the Commanders.
Oh, you did say that,
and the Nets are going to get blown out of the water.
Yeah, you got that
There's only one game to watch.
No, you were right.
It was the Dodgers.
And you didn't even watch it because you went to sleep.
I watched half of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
What were you going
to
say now?
No, I said your guy, Evan Roberts, said has dedicated his life to scoring games. Last night was the Mona Lisa of scoring games, and you didn't take the book out, and you got your wife poking you. I thought at first it was for something else.
No.
It's because this game was on and you fell asleep.
I know. No, but I feel better that I woke up and watched it, but no, I didn't score the game. And here's what makes it worse. I didn't score game three Dodgers Red Sox in 2018 also, which is the other Mona Lisa of scoring games. And by the way, because history matters, in 2018, also a game three, also at Dodger Stadium, also won on a leadoff home run in the bottom of the 18th on a 3-2 pitch. Then it was Max Muncy. Now it was Freddie Freeman. Need I remind everybody that that was the only game the Dodgers won in that series? They ended up losing in 5 to the Red Sox.
No, I didn't.
So anyone saying, oh, that's a backbreaker, the Blue Jays can't possibly win tonight because of yesterday. What about 2018? That was the only freaking game the Dodgers won in the entire series.
The Blue Jays are scrappy, too.
They're scrappy. They're scrappy SOBs. All I know is, Tiki Barber, Sean Morash, you may not admit it, you are making sure you're up tonight because you don't want to miss a damn thing after the classic from last night.
Well, I mean, it's Ohtani. If Ohtani's pitching, now I have to see this.
That is
I've already
true.
Now decided he's the best baseball player I've ever seen because of what happened last night. And this led to a discussion with me and Sean regarding one Aaron Judge, which we'll get into later. Yeah, but I have to watch Shohei Ohtani.
Pitch and hit.
Pitch and hit.
Yeah. Man, I get that.
Like, if he's pitching, do you still pitch away from him? Like, seriously, if he's exerting himself trying to get your guys out, are you still scared that he's going to go yard on you every single time?
Yeah, you got to treat him like the superstar he is.
So he's going to have a seven-inning, nine-strikeout, one-run outing and then walk four times?
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, what the heck?
Can I tell you why that's actually brilliant? I'll never forget, I was listening to a post-game interview of Turk Wendell back in 1999 after the Mets played the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Mets beat up Roger Clemens that night. So it wasn't 1999, then it was probably 1997 because he was still on the Blue Jays. So let's move it back a few years just to be accurate. And Roger Clemens ended up getting hit by the Mets. And they asked Turk Wendell after the game, like, hey, what happened? What was the key to getting to Roger Clemens? He's like, well, we put him on base a few times, made him run around, and it wore him out. So... put Ohtani on base, make him run around the bases a little bit, wear him out.
Oh, that's actually brilliant.
Thank you. It was all from Turk Wendell 27 years ago.
I mean, was he being facetious or real?
I think he was being facetious, but why the hell not?
Look, right, he's not sitting in the dugout with a jacket over his arm and a heating pad. He's standing out on first base.
That's right.
Just kind of chilling.
Yeah. And maybe running first to third on a base hit the right field. Like, that may actually be the way to wear down the unwear downable. Could be a good strategy.
That is kind of genius.
You like that one?
I like that.
Yeah, 27.
Especially when Ohtani's pitching.
The other thing about Shohei Ohtani I do want to bring up was the great Al Dukes. Like, listen, there was a time in which Mike and the Mad Dog would say something, and it would become a topic for the next couple of days. They would set the tone around here. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I think we all take turns with that. Sometimes Tiki says something, sets the tone for a week. Sometimes Boomer says something, sets the tone for a week. Al Dukes has set the tone at this radio station.
Malachi Corley.
Because this morning, that's right, I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching a baseball game and was also up at 5 a.m. to listen to Al Dukes and Jerry Recco, one of my favorite shows on WFAN.
What is wrong with you, dude?
Al made a point about Shohei Ohtani, and I want you guys to listen to this because you've probably already heard people debating it. It came from Al, and Al's not even like a sports fan, but that's what makes him great because some of the things he says is just, he's, like, basic when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
I see this. Right. I react to this.
Lowest common denominator. Everybody can relate and understand it.
Yes. It feels like we're insulting Al, but I'm not. I'm putting him over. I can't relate to that because I'm such a sports geek. Listen to Al's simplistic point about walking Shohei Ohtani, and it's taken over because everyone wants to talk about it now.
Is this what baseball wants, though? Walking Ohtani four times intentionally?
No, you don't. But,
so
I mean,
why do we allow
also... Well, if you're the Blue Jays, what would you do?
No, I'm saying, why does it, like, Rob Manfred has got to eliminate intentional walks.
How about that? Al Dukes suggesting that the commissioner of baseball eliminates intentional walks. Your thoughts, Tiki?
No, I mean, there's ways around it. You just throw him four pitches out of the zone. Like, he's not going to swing at him. Or maybe he does. Maybe he Barry Bonds it and, like, chases it just because he's tired of you walking him all the time. You can't eliminate intentional walks. It's there for the saving of the arm for the starting pitcher or relief pitcher or whoever's on the mound, but it's also strategy. It's if you have a bad hitter, and the Dodgers don't. Mookie Betts is not a bad hitter.
That's the crazy part. They're intentionally walking him to get to a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He also hasn't had a great series. So,
No, I know.
And so it's like, all right, I'd rather deal with Mookie Betts.
Right.
And then they... later in the game, he walked both of them.
Yes.
He walked Ohtani and then Betts. So it's a strategy that you have to allow managers to use.
I thought about this 12 years ago. While I was the commissioner of once called Twitter Baseball, we had some really good hitters, including a guy by the name of Alberto. Alberto was unbelievable. Nobody wanted to face Alberto. So they started to intentionally walk Alberto. And Alberto said, is there anything you can do? And I said, let me think about it. And I went into the lab and I thought about it. All right, how do we have a rule?
You take a pen and a pad?
I took a pen and a pad. I went in the bathroom. I had many thoughts about how to ban the intentional walk. And I came up with this 12 years ago, and I'm going to repeat it now for Al Dukes and anyone else who wants to talk about this on Sports Talk Radio. You can't ban it. It's impossible.
Of course it is.
Because I tried the rule of you could defer it.
What does defer mean?
Ready?
Defer? What?
The batter can say, no, I'm not going to first base.
I'm not taking the first base?
Correct.
Oh, he can deflect it.
He can defer the walk. He can say, I'm not going to first base. Keep pitching to me. And so I tried that. I swear to God, I tried this in Twitter baseball where sluggers were able to say, I'm not taking a walk. I refuse to. I defer it. Albert Bell tried to do it many years ago. Here's the problem, because you may say, well, that's a great idea, and you just solved baseball.
I mean, it kind of is.
It's not. Because then the pitcher says, okay, and continues to throw ball four.
Oh, got it.
So we're waiting for either the batter to say, screw it, I'm just going to take first base.
Right.
Or this exercise will continue. There is no way to eliminate the intentional walk. Mm. You can try. You can think of dumb ideas. But I'm telling you, there's holes in all of them. This is a part of the sport. It's a part of baseball. Babe Ruth was intentionally walked. Not as much as Bonds and Ohtani, but he was intentionally walked. Barry Bonds, of course, set all kinds of records for being intentionally walked. Aaron Judge is intentionally walked. It's baseball. So what I say to Al, not really to Al, because I don't think he even cares. Just I think it's more idea. Just an idea.
Yes.
I say, tough crap. Walks are in baseball. Deal with it.
Let me throw a dumb idea out there for you. All right, don't get rid of the intentional walk, but how about penalties for the intentional walk? Meaning, all right, you give Ohtani one free pass. The next one, he gets second base. The third one, he gets third base. I'm serious. That way, you know what?
What if you just walk him regularly? Like, you face him, but you like in you watched the game. So, for those that didn't, in Ohtani's last at bat,
correct,
they faced him, and four pitches were out of the strike zone. They were splitters in the dirt. And Ohtani almost swung at the first one. Checked his swing. All good. And the next three were out of the strike zone. What's that? What would you do with that?
I guess it's like in basketball when you're blatantly, you know, hacking a Shaq or hacking a
Mitch. Was that blatant?
Yes, but it wasn't blatant like putting four fingers up. So that's where you wouldn't get penalized.
But that last at bat.
No, it was an unintentional intentional walk.
So you think that was blatant?
Meaning they didn't want to pitch to him.
I understand, but you're saying that would be a penalized walk.
No, that would be a way around it. So that would be a loophole in what I'm suggesting.
Thank you.
It's gutless, first of all, to do that. But yeah, I don't know. To me, you have to find a way to get around where you're taking the start. Could you imagine if the ball got taken out of Patrick Mahomes' hands in football? There'd be an outrage. That's what you did last night.
You didn't
get to see in this epic game Ohtani hit. The guy could have went and got a snack. He's the DA. He wasn't playing for the entire game.
But you know what it did? And I agree with what the Blue Jays did. What they said was there's a better chance of us putting a guy on base, which increases the opportunity of the Dodgers to score. We feel better about getting these other great hitters out with a guy on base versus facing a guy who had two doubles and two home runs. So their strategy is sound, and unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, am I going to sit here and say it's entertaining? It's not entertaining, but it's baseball. And I know that if I had a great player, and I think the Mets do have some great players, clearly the Yankees have a great player in Aaron Judge, when those guys get intentionally walked, I tip my hat and said, you're damn right, you should. He's that great. So I get the idea, and I get the frustration. I respect where Al is coming from. But tough luck. This is baseball, and we got to live with it.
Susan.
Tough luck. Yeah, that's a new one. Tough luck. It's baseball, Susan. But what a night. Did you miss anything if you missed this game? If you're listening right now, do you regret that you are well slept for your day of work? Or would you rather be drooling all over yourselves, imagining weird things, but you got to see an 18-inning baseball game? We'll get your calls next, 888-808-1019. A lot of football to get to as well. Get your calls in a minute, but here are your scientific results on how people did or didn't consume an all-time classic game last night. How long did you last watching last night's epic Game 3 of the World Series? Right off the top, 44% of people said never watched it. Didn't care. I'm a football fan.
And this is mostly Northeast people, so it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So it's mostly Met fans who live on the East Coast. This is because you've put this poll out.
Absolutely. Look, there are baseball fans who say, I'm not watching it. I don't want to watch the Dodgers against the Blue Jays. Yankee fans don't like the Blue Jays. Met fans don't like the Dodgers. Yankees don't like the Dodgers. I get it. 26% of people fall in the Tiki and Sean category, which is falling asleep before the extra innings.
Yeah, 11-ish, I was done.
Same, man. 11:15. That was it.
16% of people were in and out of sleep, which I don't even know if I qualify as, because I was only in sleep once. I had one stint of sleep, woke up, and I was good to go for the last six or seven innings. And then 14% of people, 14%, said, watch the entire game.
Wow, that's hard, man.
To watch the entire game? Yeah, it was a seven-hour game.
This game started, first pitch was 8:11.
Yeah.
That means it was over, because it was 6 hours and 39 minutes, at 2:50 a.m.
That's right.
What are you doing?
You're watching the game? What are you doing?
No, like, baseball's not all riveting. Like, every moment you got to be dialed in.
Right. So
you kind of got to be doing something else.
Yeah, maybe you're on your phone, you're scrolling Twitter.
Like, having a beer, but you start drinking it at 8 and finish at 3. Well, like, what are you doing?
Tommy, not going to work today is what you're doing.
Tommy, right? At 11 o'clock, the football game's done. So between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., that's a four-hour sample size. What are you doing while watching the baseball game?
So I'm watching the game. I'm also on Twitter.
See?
You know, I'm checking out, like, YouTube stuff. So I'm in and out. I'm talking to whoever's awake. Yeah. So
playing it's not game, like... You playing games on your phone?
Playing games on the phone, whatever. nudging the wife, you know, you know, whatever, to get through those 4 or 5 hours. But I also don't have kids, so I could, like, sleep. So for me, as a night owl, that's a no biggie to stay up till 3 a.m.
Was there ever any point during the game, because Howie Rose was live tweeting as well about, hey, I'm about to check out, I had to pee multiple times, all that. Was there ever a drop-dead point where you said, I'm done, I got to tap out?
No. In fact, there was a part of me that was like, man, can we get this to like 5 in the morning? Because you feel like you're on this like crazy journey. It's like Kramer when he's got like no gas in the tank. Sean, you remember that episode of Seinfeld?
And
they
got to break off.
They want to keep driving. Like, there's a part of me that's like, let's keep this going.
So when the Mariners played the Tigers in the winner-take-all game 5 that went 15 innings.
That was a Friday night though, right?
It was a Friday night. I scored that game. I didn't care who won. And so my attitude was, I want this thing to go 25 innings. Because I really genuinely didn't care who won.
Yeah.
Last night, as a normal red-blooded American, I found myself rooting for the Canadian team. I mean, it just wasn't what it was. So I wanted the Blue Jays to win, so I put that ahead of
Oh, you really love Don baseball. You love Don Mattingly.
It's not really that, you know. It's just about hating the Dodgers.
Of course, the evil empire.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Jason's in New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Big fan. So, funny story. In the 12th inning, I think it was, when Schneider hit that slow roller to third base where the guy just waited on the base for the ball.
Yeah.
Once the call got overturned, I thought the bases were loaded. So, I'm like, okay, Toronto just scored a run. It's 6-5. I'm going to bed. So, I go to bed thinking Toronto's up 6-5. Wake up this morning, just like you guys said. I check my phone. I said, holy crap, the Dodgers won 6-5 in 18 innings. So to answer your question, Evan, yes, I regret going to bed and not watching the rest of the game.
And think about what he missed. So he goes to sleep after that reviewable play in the 12th inning.
Uh-huh.
What he missed was Clayton Kershaw came in with the bases loaded.
Right. And it's not like he was dominant, but they were kind of like, this could be the last time you see Clayton Kershaw ever pitch in a Dodger. Not ever, because he's retiring after this season. And he takes it to 3-2.
Yes.
And he throws the pitch out of the zone. And he swings at it.
Yes. And that was it. Kershaw comes into a game with the bases loaded in the World Series. Extra innings. 3-2 pitch. Gets a ground out. It was unbelievable. I'll tell you something else crazy about this game. And maybe this is the part that you saw. I want to go all the way back to the top of the second inning. Because this was right out of the Yankee handbook. This is the Yankee handbook moment. So the Blue Jays have a leadoff man on. There's one on, nobody out. There is a 3-1 pitch that is called a strike is a ball.
This was unreal.
Okay? The base runner at first base, Bo Bichette, thinks it's a ball.
Well, no, I don't think he knew it. I don't think he thought it was a ball until
Dalton Varsho was the batter.
Varsho was batting. Varsho looks. He's like, wait, that was a strike? He looks back, and then he takes his stuff off and starts to walk down the line. And then Bo Bichette's like, all right, because it's a walk. So it's not on Bo Bichette. It's on Varsho.
Dalton Varsho for pretending or thinking he walked.
Yes.
But it caused Bichette to start to go to second base. So what happens? They throw to first base, and he's picked off.
Yeah.
And then the next batter gets a base hit. They got first and third, one out.
Right.
Dude, if that is a Yankee, what are you saying today, Sean Morash?
I'm pissed.
I want Aaron Boone fired.
Yeah, I mean,
is Boone.
But why is it Aaron Boone's fault?
Because that's what they do.
We'd find a way to blame the players. Should know better because he's their manager and figure that out.
He was walking to first base. He took his gloves off or whatever whatever protective thing, and he threw his bat down. He was walking to first.
I know.
He just got fooled by his teammate.
And to think that was in the second inning of an 18 inning game. Let's go to Vince in Monmouth County. What's up, Vince?
Well, guys, I've been listening, and it's a totally different perspective I offer. First of all, I watched every glorious minute of that game and loved it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, of course, in the spirit of full disclosure, I am a lifelong Dodger fan.
Oh, so you had to.
Yeah, well, then you know what? You don't deserve any extra credit because if you're a Dodger fan.
I don't want any extra credit. Look, what the difference between listening to your perspectives and mine, I'm enjoying the human drama of it. Yeah. Watching those two relievers in the last 6 innings, watching their faces, the pressure there. Can you imagine, you know, when you haven't pitched more than 30 pitches in a game, suddenly you're going 4 innings and throwing 70.
It was unbelievable. Right. And what he's talking about is Will Klein, who just got added to the Dodgers postseason roster, threw 4 scoreless innings, and he threw 72 pitches.
Yeah.
And he's a reliever who's never come close to throwing that amount of pitches. But he was forced to because they had nobody left. Dave Roberts didn't want to go to another starting pitcher. He floated the idea, as we heard on the broadcast late last night, of going to a position player. And so Will Klein, with his beautiful red beard, just kept pitching.
Right.
It really was unbelievable to watch.
Right, and the same could be for Lauer.
Not as impressed by Lauer because he's a starting pitcher.
Right, so. But whatever. He still came in and had to be in a unique role and tried to figure it out.
Nah,
he actually did okay.
He did a fine job. He walked a million guys, though half of them were Ohtani intentionally, but he did the job. It was incredible. Let's go to Jerry in Maywood. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, with Ohtani pitching tonight, do you have a problem with the Ohtani rule that allows him to stay in the game?
Yes, it's a disgrace. Out? It's an absolute disgrace. I mean, they wrote a rule just for him. Yes, I hate it.
Have you ever talked about that? Have you ever?
I mean, we've talked about it briefly when they first announced it, but it's like sometimes you can't fight the man. You just have to deal with it.
Yeah, because Ohtani is the man. And and it's good for baseball for Ohtani to be able to do whatever Ohtani wants to do.
I will give you an example that will get people to agree with the Ohtani rule, okay, on a personal level.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, the Anaheim Angels came to Yankee Stadium, and Shohei Ohtani was pitching for the Angels. And you guys, the Yankees, did a great job of working long at-bats against him. I don't know if you guys remember this game. He walked a bunch of guys, to which he got pulled, if I'm not mistaken, in the first inning. And because he got pulled in the first inning, Teague, and there was no Ohtani rule, he was out of the game.
Yeah.
Oh, and well. So, no, and I respect that,
Sean. I mean, it's
good
for winning, losing, but.
But there were people who went to that game wanting to see Ohtani. And for those people, or people that are watching tonight's game because they want to see Ohtani, he gets to remain in the game even if he gets knocked out in the first or second inning. But I remember that very vividly, that Yankee-Angel game, because there were people the next day who called us up and said, hey, I went to go see Ohtani. I didn't see him.
Yeah. So, the reason it's fine is because every sport is essentially an entertainment business. And if Shohei Ohtani, one of the best, if not the best player, probably the best player in baseball, is not playing in a game in the postseason, it changes what people want to see.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but here's where we're differing. Sure, you're right. Teach Ohtani to go play a position. So after he comes out of a game as a pitcher, he can move to right field. You're allowed to do that. He can move to left field. Well, he's allowed to do that.
He knows. He plays the outfield.
Okay, then do that. Why do we have to create a rule?
He just doesn't do it.
Okay, but they changed the rule to accommodate him remaining a DH, when if the rule remained the way it was for the first 40 years of the designated hitter, it's easy. He can stay in the game. He just has to go play a position.
Maybe we'll see more and more young kids coming up doing the Ohtani thing.
Well, Nolan McLean was doing it, and then they took the batting away from him.
Right.
That's why he was called Cowboy Ohtani. How about that? Let's go to Zeke in Flatbush. What's up, Zeke?
Gentlemen, outstanding show now that I've called. I just want to have my solution to the intentional walk thing. Let me know what you think about this. You cannot intentionally walk a person with no one on base.
How do you know it's intentional? But how do you know it's intentional?
I'll get there.
Okay.
We're always complaining about the automatic strike zone and taking the human element of the umpire away. Bring it back. If the umpire feels that a guy is intentionally walking, a guy meeting, four balls. If he throws a strike, that's the hitter's opportunity to hit it. If he throws four balls without throwing a strike, two bases.
So if he fouls a ball off on a 2-0 pitch, I'm then allowed to essentially intentionally walk him because I gave him his one pitch to hit.
Yes.
Correct. Correct. Right.
That's not bad. That's actually not a bad rule.
Not bad. How come you didn't think that, Tommy?
You have to try to get at least one strike.
Yeah, you're not banning the intentional walk. What you're doing is you're banning the four-pitch walk.
Yes.
Now, the other problem you do run into, because I do want to throw out other problems, is sometimes pitchers suck. You talk about rookies sucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, rookie pitchers also suck.
Yes.
So if a guy walks someone on four pitches, are we now deeming intentional?
So now this is what he's talking about, the
discretion?
Discretion of the umpire. So if you can kind of tell, can't you?
Sometimes.
When he was unintentionally walked.
Well, okay. Yeah, I want to go through that. So the intentional walk that Shohei Ohtani faced in his last plate appearance was, here's how I would describe it. You tell me if it's intentional. The pitcher said, I'm going to throw you junk low and away.
Yes.
Maybe you'll chase. And on the first pitch, he almost chased.
Yeah.
So is that an intentional walk or is that being smart, saying I'm not going to give you a great pitch to hit? I hope you chase it. I hope you make this a decent count for me to then attack you.
Right.
But Ohtani showed great patience and didn't chase.
So
is that intentional?
No, to me, that's not.
There you go. That's the loophole.
Right.
But he didn't throw him a strike.
You're right. But he tried to throw him off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's go to Paul in Queens. What's going on, Paul?
Yeah, guys. I'm probably like the 1%. I was actually watching the football game, and I fell asleep in my easy chair, and I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm just checking my phone for a couple of things. I said, what happened to the baseball game? I see the game is still on, so I turned the game on at 2:30, and I watched like the last 25 minutes of it.
Oh, that's actually
great. That's actually great. I'm the Yankee fan of Corbin last year when Boone kept pitching to that guy.
Yeah. Right. Well, Freddie Freeman is becoming a legend. He is now the only player in the long, illustrious history of the World Series to have multiple walk-off home runs. Mm. Is that not unbelievable?
It's unreal.
Yeah. He is unreal.
It's what's unbelievable. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a Dodger, not a Brave, which is crazy to think of now.
And you're not forgetting it, but if he wins another World Series,
it's
MVP,
a very fair point. I'll always think
you're
of him
be
as
like, oh yeah. He was a Brave.
I'll think of
him
as
a Brave. Brave too.
And he won a championship with the Braves, which definitely helps. But I was thinking about that late last night, that, wow, Freddie Freeman is doing something that I think we all deemed impossible. He's making us think of him as a Dodger and not a Brave,
yeah.
Right? Even though I'll probably always think of him as a Brave, it's a fair point.
No, yeah, you had those kind of heroic moments. There are two other people that were in that building last night that I didn't get in the game recap. I don't know if Tiki didn't see this either. I need to know this as far as staying up for this game. Did Justin Herbert and Matt Stafford last all 18 innings there? Because they got work to do this morning.
Well, the real guy I was worried about was Justin Bieber. Because Justin Bieber showed up in his Blue Jay gear, and he's a true Blue Jay fan.
Yeah.
And they didn't show anybody from the 10th inning on.
Yeah. So here's what you have to also remember. This game started at 5:11 on the West Coast. So it was over at 11:50.
Yeah, it's not that late.
Okay, but if you're the quarterback, first one in the building.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Jeez, whatever.
There were plenty of times where I didn't go to bed till whatever, and I was up the next morning,
fair enough,
ready to go.
I honestly was more curious about Bieber because...
It's Monday. It's Tuesday.
Oh, today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, so it's
You're
an
right,
off day.
Today's the off day. Never mind. Well,
yeah, I didn't
they
even...
They probably went out afterwards.
Honestly, in my whole brain, I thought as I was saying that today was Wednesday and yesterday was
Tuesday. Because you can't separate yourself from being a diehard sports fan. I'm able to once in a while. I was just curious if Bieber was a diehard sports fan. Like, is he going there because it's the place to be seen?
Well,
or
sure
is
he
locked in?
I'm sure he lives in L.A.
You think he stayed for all 18?
If he's a diehard Blue Jays fan, how could he not?
That's what I'm saying.
And he was in a suite. It's not like he was amongst the people.
And the legendary story coming out of this game is that Sandy Koufax, how old is Sandy now? He's got to be 90.
Hold on, I just looked this up the other
Sandy
day.
Koufax not only stayed the entire game, but after the game goes into the Dodger locker room to basically tell Will Klein he's the man. Mm. Can you imagine that? You're Will Klein. You're this journeyman reliever with your dopey red beard. And here comes Sandy Koufax to say, son, you're a legend. and honestly, the other guy Sandy should go up to.
89. He'll be 90 on December 30th.
Wow, we're almost there.
The other thing, and the other guy that deserves legendary status, I gotta say it, is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Mm. Because this guy throws a complete game 2 days ago. Dave Roberts is openly talking about, I'm going to go to a position player. And Yamamoto goes up to him with his interpreter and says, put me in. That is some badass stuff.
Do you think Dave Roberts was throwing smoke screens?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Because there's no way in the midst of a World Series he was going to go to a position player.
Not a chance.
He was either going to let Will Klein's arm fall off or he was going to go to one of his starters. Right.
And he kept figuring it out, Will Klein. Might as well.
Let's go to Dave in Huntington. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of points quickly. Diehard Dodger fan. My first game was 1959 at the L.A. Coliseum.
Nice.
I made it through 16 innings. I'm obviously a little older.
Wow.
My body couldn't take it. But, Evan, I wanted to give you a little grief personally.
Yeah.
Because over the years, you know, I agree that the Dodgers are now the evil empire. I own it. That's fine. I'm glad they spend the money. But the difference is we have Andrew Friedman, and I don't think he gets enough credit from anybody for being a baseball mind, you know, finding talent and putting together a team. What he did with Tampa was incredible.
Yeah.
What he's doing with the Dodgers was incredible.
But Dave, two things can be true. No one said Andrew Friedman's bad at his job.
No.
My only criticism at the feet of Andrew Friedman is we played a clip last week. I'm not sure if we have the audio handy. But Andrew Friedman was asked about, hey, you're accused of buying championships.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, well, we own it. Yeah, we have a lot of money. And our owners are really committed to winning, blah, blah, blah. He claimed that the Dodgers practice more than the other stars around baseball.
Yeah, that was a cheap shot to the other stars in baseball.
It was disingenuous.
It was just you don't know it's true.
Right.
So just because you know your guys do it doesn't mean that other guys don't.
For those that didn't hear it, ladies and gentlemen, here is the president of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, being asked to respond to the accusations that all they do are buy championships.
It really is a lazy narrative. I get it. It's surface level. It's easy to pull on that thread. But it discounts these guys so much because you watch us play other teams. And you watch our stars out here early, on their knees, taking ground balls, doing extra work. You see the other team's stars, they're never out here.
Come on.
So this is about having the right people and the way they prepare and how much they want to win.
Oh, shut up.
And give back to these incredible fans.
So basically, they work harder than every other team.
That's nonsense.
No, they're more talented. And I don't begrudge the L.A. Dodgers. I'm jealous of them. Like, I would love for the Mets, I'm sure Sean would love for the Yankees, to just buy every superstar we can. They do a great job of doing that. And to their credit, most of the superstars they buy turn out to be really successful. It's not easy. Just because you buy stuff doesn't mean you win. The Mets are certainly proof of that. But let's not be disingenuous and act like you don't and you just work harder than everybody else.
Both can be true, by the way. You can buy everybody, and they also work hard. But don't disparage the other stars on the league by trying to give yourself a narrative that is actually BS.
Ryan is in Kent, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, Evan?
Yo.
I just wanted to say yesterday was awesome for me. I'm a custodian over here in Kent, and I listened to you guys. We went right into a Lou Gower, and then I got home at 10 o'clock, and I had 4 hours of baseball to watch at home. I couldn't have been happier.
That is beautiful.
Watching a football game and basketball. It was awesome.
See, that's the thing. There are people that work later hours, and having a baseball game that's live going on until 3 a.m.,
of course,
it's like a gift from the gods.
Of course, it's perfect. You have something you can do.
Did you watch Sean the Domingo Herman perfect game live?
No. Mm-mm. My mom alerted me to it in the middle of the night.
Really?
Yeah. Your mom was awake watching the Domingo Herman perfect game?
I don't understand his sleep patterns, but I woke up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Even if she wasn't, you know, her sleep patterns, she was watching the game?
What I guess probably happened, Tiki, is my dad fell asleep on the couch. She saw what was going on, and she thought, like, it was her duty to alert me, and it was too late. By the time I saw it, it was, like, an hour later.
Wait, how did she try to alert? She tried to call you at 1 o'clock in the morning?
And my phone was on silent. I had 2 missed calls, and I saw a text from her. If you wake up and see this...
She's calling you vigorously to tell you... Domingo Herman pitched a perfect game?
To be fair, in her brain, I think she thought it was important for my work... That I would be up and seeing that. That's the way she thinks of everything.
We talk about this experience of a World Series game. You knew it was a World Series game. If you went to sleep, you understood it. That was a random baseball game against the Oakland A's, correct, if memory serves correct, in April or May.
So it is understandable why people went to sleep. I'll never forget. This was the phase in which one of my sons kept waking up in the middle of the night. And so one of my sons woke me up, put him back to sleep. As I get back into my bed, I'm like, let me see what's going on in baseball. And the MLB app said, perfect game going into the ninth inning. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I saw the top and then bottom of the ninth inning all because my kid woke me up.
Right.
Kind of like how I saw last night's World Series game because my wife woke me up. So sometimes, Teak, it's about being lucky.
It is. Or it's about just sleeping.
Yeah, I'm well read. Me too, you're well read.
I am
for sure.
So content.
Do I look tired to you, though?
No, you never look tired. And you don't sleep.
Yeah, that's right. The person I felt bad for was Boomer, because I heard this morning that Boomer stayed up and watched the whole game.
So he didn't sleep today, though.
I can't imagine. The game ended at 3 o'clock in the morning. They go on the air at 6.
Well, right. Luckily for Boomer, he can sleep 18 hours until the next show now.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He could definitely catch up, but that can't be easy after that.
No, absolutely not. But I think it's different when you have the young kids. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? Oh, because we have to wake up at some point.
Yeah, school bus, all that crap, you know?
I'm still giving the guy credit for watching the game.
I mean, I give him
more credit than you. I think he takes his job around here more seriously than you.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, he watched the game. Where were you?
I'll have you know, if I was doing morning national radio game, yeah, I'd be doing it.
Exactly. It's a Dodger game.
Let's go to Charlie.
Half our audience doesn't give a crap.
That's fine. Charlie in Manalapan. What's up, Charlie?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you.
I know I'm going off topic, but Evan, this is for you.
Yes.
Our great organization called the Jets are again raising out ticket prices. Again, in 4 years in a row, they're doing it again.
Where do you sit? If you don't want to give the exact section, just give me an idea.
Lower sideline, 12 rows from the field.
That's a disgrace.
It's in the last 4 years, from 170, we're going up to 265 a game. I would pay that no problem if the product was there.
Of course.
But they've gotten 7 wins from 2023 to 8 games into this season. 7 wins out of 45 games. That is insanity.
The balls or cojones of an organization who has done nothing but losing to raise ticket prices again on their customers. I mean, it should be banned. And I got the same email today. I got an email from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And before I even looked at the numbers, I was offended by the idea that on October 28th, they're telling me about an invoice for next season. Like right off the top. Right. Like, are we serious? It's October. You've won one game. 48 hours after your first win, you want to tell us, hey, we got great news. Your invoice is in your inbox. Check it out. So right off the top, I saw this and said, I'm disgusted. Where I'm sitting was not touched.
Right.
Just for the record. So when we talk about prices being raised, we went through this with the Mets. I had them raised on the Mets, but I was told some sections weren't raised. So it's not all universal. So for the Jets, I got the same prices. But for our last caller, who is not lying,
right,
lower sidelines, they raised them. And over the last 5 years, he has now been raised a total of $100 per game. Woody Johnson, if you're listening, what are you doing?
That's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. You can't do that.
Especially if you're more than one or two tickets.
Of course, it adds up.
Right.
But you also can't do it, and I've made this point a lot. When you stink and you miss the playoffs, there should be legislation where you are not allowed to raise a dime of ticket prices.
This sounds like a crime against sportsmanity right now.
It is. It is. And
seriously. Same old Jets.
And every team does it. Like, the Mets have done it. The Yankees never really missed the playoffs, but I'm sure they did it in the one year they missed it.
The Knicks don't do it.
The Knicks and Rangers, owned by James Dolan. That's right. For everyone who hates James Dolan, I'm just going to give you the facts. He is the only owner in this town who made a solemn swear to his customers that off a year in which they missed the playoffs, he will not raise you a dime.
So just to reiterate, within 1 week's time, the owner raising season ticket prices previously stated that the quarterback he currently has can't complete a forward pass.
That's correct. Yes, you got that
okay.
Right. Yes.
So that same guy who admitted to the public he doesn't have a quarterback that can pass wants to raise season ticket prices. That's nice.
Yeah, that's
good business.
It's horrible business.
Come watch our mediocrity. It's only going to cost you more.
Mediocrity? Below mediocrity. Right.
And what I feel bad for with our last caller is he's going to resubscribe because he's a Jet fan. And as I've said many times, you know what Jet fans are? All of us, we're schmucks. So we're going to get slapped in the face. We're going to get kicked in the groin. We're going to complain about it. We're going to say it on Sports Talk Radio. We're going to be called up. And then guess what? We're going to give my money.
Mm-hmm. Jet fans are dumb.
We are. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019. Were you able to consume a classic baseball game? Plus, more on the Jets raising ticket prices and what they're going to do with the trade deadline, as well as the Giants. Busy Tuesday. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.